Matthew chapter 13. And this morning we're starting a new summer series, and we're going to look at some of the parables of Jesus Christ. You know, we've made a selection that will roughly follow a sequence of sort of starting the Christian life, you know, sowing the seed and building your life on a rock, something of the character of God. We're going to look at the prodigal son and how God loves and seeks us. And we're going to look at how to live the Christian life, you know, the Good Samaritan, parables about talents. And we're going to look at the coming of the Lord and how there's a day of accountability for all of us. So that's going to go right through the summer to about the middle of September. Today, we're going to start with the parable of the sower. And it's one of the most famous parables of Jesus. And actually, it's in three of the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And but we're going to look at it in the book of Matthew. And we're going to read from Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Now, the setting is this. At the end of chapter 12, Jesus had been teaching in a house. And there's crowds of people there. And his mother and his half-brothers are trying to get in. They can't get in the house. And so chapter 13 starts with Jesus leaving the house and going down to the side of the sea. So let's read it. And we're going to read from verse 1 to 23. And there's going to be three sections. The first section is going to be the parable itself. So let's read. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depths of soil, but when the sun arose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. That's the first section. The second section of the reading is the disciples ask, why do you speak in parables? So verse 10 says, disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you shall indeed hear, but never understand. You shall indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. In the third section, Jesus goes on to explain the meaning of the parable. Verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches what is sown in his heart. This is what is sown along the path. And what is sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what is sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So we'll look at these three sections of the story here. As I said at the beginning, he's on the beach or the shore of the sea, and there's such a crowd that he goes into a boat and sits down and starts to teach them. And in this chapter are a number of parables. We're only going to look at the first one, but there are a number of them that speak about a common theme, and that is the kingdom of heaven. In the parable of the sower, we read that the word of the kingdom is the seed. The seed is the word of the kingdom. And if we were to go down to verse 24, it says he speaks another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sows good seed in a field. Go down to verse 31. He says another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in a field. Verse 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour. Then verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure in the field. Verse 46, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. And Jesus is using these parables to teach spiritual truth. You know, in these cases, truth about the kingdom of heaven. And he uses common stories, things that they are familiar with, but they have a spiritual meaning. I know in Sunday school we learned that, what is it? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, you know? And so they're simple stories, but stories are a great way to remember truth, you know, like a hook to put it on. You know, if I say to you, think about the Good Samaritan, what's in your mind? Oh, yeah, I can think about that story. I can also think about the spiritual application, you know, who's my neighbor? If I say to you, think about the prodigal son, what's in your mind? Well, the story. You remember the story, but you can also remember the application. Our God is loving and gracious and receives somebody who repents and turns to him. And so Jesus uses this technique of familiar things to teach us spiritual truth. So the story we're going to look at is the parable of the sower. And it's about a man who sows the seed in his field, you know. And perhaps as Jesus is sitting in the boat teaching them, he can see beyond them a man sowing seed in the field. You know, one of the commentators has suggested that. It's pure speculation, but it, you know, Jesus uses those familiar everyday things to teach us truth. And the parable is this, that the seed lands on different kinds of soil. And depending on the soil, the seed has different results. In fact, some people have called this the parable of the soils. You know, some of it lands on a path and is eaten by the birds. Some lands on rocky grounds and takes a little bit of root, but it withers in the sun. There's no real root to it. And some lands on thorny ground and is just choked out by thorns and other plants, weeds. But some of it lands on good soil, and it produces grain. And Jesus ends his parable with this. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this is important, because Jesus is urging us to listen carefully. Listen intentionally. Think about what is being taught. What's the underlying message to the parable? You know, the entire crowd heard Jesus' words, but only a minority asked, what does it mean? And let the truth penetrate to their being. They were the different types of soil, see? And this is what distinguishes soils, it's the result. Now, some of you are gardeners. I know Ian is a gardener. My wife Esther is a gardener. So is my son Matt. Esther, before we went on holiday this spring, she was fervently working in the garden. I've got to get the seeds planted before we go on holiday. And she didn't have much time, you know. We go away on holiday. Weeks later, we come back. What's the first thing? Got to go and see. And she goes to the vegetable garden, and some things have sprouted up, you know. But I remember saying to me, these things haven't germinated. There's nothing there. She was quite disappointed. She couldn't understand it. So she had to re-sow. But the point of sowing is to get results. So this is the parable, but the disciples didn't understand it, you know. And so they come to him saying, you know, what's the meaning of the parable? Why are you talking in parables? You know, why, you know, and they're kind of like a riddle, aren't they? You know, a riddle seems obvious when you know the answer, you know, doesn't it? But you can't unlearn the answer. Yeah. Once you see it, you see it. It's obvious. It's the same with a parable, you know. When you know the meaning, it's clear. And in a sense, that's true with Christianity, isn't it? The Christian message is very basic, very simple. And yet, you know, it can be complicated to the non-believer. You know, so the disciples come to Jesus and ask him, why is he speaking in parables? And his answer is interesting. If you look in verse 11, he says, to you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. So he starts dividing the people into two groups. And he says the disciples have a privileged position. And Jesus is going to explain to them the parable. Actually, we're in that privileged position as well because we have that explanation, you know. And in verse 16 and 17, he goes on to tell them that many prophets and righteous people had longed to see what you see. They were in a privileged position, you know. I read in one commentary as I was preparing that the commentator said this, that parables serve two opposing purposes. Everyone has the same evidence, and in the parable there's no bad seed. Let me just go back. My eyes jumped a paragraph. Okay, so there's two opposing thoughts, you know. They reveal, and at the same time they conceal the mysteries of the kingdom. You know, a parable reveals truth to the receptive and conceals it from the unreceptive. Now, is this fair? You know, some people struggle with this. Is it fair? But, you know, everybody has the same evidence. In the parable, there's no bad seed. There are different soils, and there are things that hinder the seed, but there's no bad seed, and everybody hears the word. It would appear that Jesus is sifting out the true seeker from the casual follower here. You know, great crowds of people were following him. Why did they come? You know, to see a celebrity who could do miracles. You know, one of the miracles that's recorded in all four Gospels is the feeding of the 5,000. You know, and Jesus did this miracle. It says he went across the lake to the other side and the crowds followed him round. And in John chapter 6, he says to them, why are you seeking me? Not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. They wanted a free meal. Don't work for the food that perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life. And so Jesus was teaching by parable to sift out the true seekers. Jesus explained his parables to anybody who asked. If anybody wanted to know, they could, but some were not interested. You know, there was a lot of questioning about who Jesus was in the Gospels, especially up until this point in Matthew. Even two chapters earlier, John the Baptist, when he's in prison, says, "Are you the one?" And it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to come to Jesus with your concerns and doubts. But there's also willful rejection of the evidence. You know? If you look in chapter 12, there are two miracles performed there. There's the miracle of a man with a withered hand. There's a miracle of Jesus curing a man who is blind and mute. In the first case, the Pharisees' reaction was to kill him. They wanted to kill Jesus. And in the second one, they said, "Jesus, you're working on behalf of Satan." And yet Matthew records that after these two miracles, the leaders of the country came to him and said, "Can you show us a sign?" You know, they'd already seen two miracles, but they wanted a sign. They were willfully rejecting the evidence they saw. And so Jesus makes a quotation from the book of Isaiah here, Isaiah chapter 6. And he says, you know, "People hear, but they don't understand. You will see, but not perceive." And that passage in Isaiah 6, the preceding verse is that famous verse where the Lord says, you know, "Who shall I send?" And Isaiah says, "Send me." And then the Lord says, "Yeah, they're not going to listen to you." But the challenge is this. What kind of soil is my heart? Do I allow the seed of God's word to germinate in my heart? You know, or do I willfully reject it? So Jesus tells them why he's speaking in parables. He wants earnest seekers, people who really want to come to him, and he'll explain it to them. And so he does. From verse 18, he explains the parable. And the seed is called the word of the kingdom. In Luke, it's called the word of God. It's God's word speaking as it's sown as seed in your heart. It speaks to you. And there's different results. You know, there's the seed that's sown on the path. Now, I think in the King James, it says on the wayside. And one commentator said the Greek literally says on the path around the field. And that kind of makes sense. You know, as he's sowing, well, there's a path at the side of the field, and some of it falls there. When we were in England, we enjoy walking, and they have a network of public footpaths in England. And you can go across private land, and as long as you stay on the footpath, legally you're entitled to it. And there's a huge network of them, and we went on some. But when they come to a field, there's a stile, you climb over it, the hedge into the field, but the path never goes straight through the field. It always goes round the edge. And that's the idea here. Some of the seed fell in that way. And of course, it was just eaten by the birds. And some seed is sown on rocky ground and just can't take root. And some of it, it says, Jesus says, is sown among the thorns. And he says that, verse 20, what was sown on the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. You know, the cares of the world. These are often legitimate activities and things, but the worry about them chokes out God's word. And he talks about the deceitfulness of riches. Riches, wealth, is deceitful when we think it can give us something that it really can't give us. There's quite a famous or well-known English author called Jack Higgins, and he passed away this year. And he wrote adventure stories. I quite enjoyed them. You know, one of them was The Eagle Had Landed. It was made into a film years ago. And he was a very successful man. He was very wealthy. And but I read this. With his wealth and his success, he said this. He said, he wasn't a very happy man. And he said, "I wish somebody had told me that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. When you get to the top, there's nothing there. The deceitfulness of riches, it doesn't give the things that you think perhaps it can." But then the seed that's sown on the good ground, you know, and it yields fruit. It grows, it yields fruit 160 and 30 times. God is going to spread his word. There's no bad seed in this parable. But there are things that hinder the seed from growing. Everybody in the parable hears the word. Okay. What do I see here? I can see this, that as we sow the seed of the gospel, you can anticipate people to reject it. There will be people who reject it where it doesn't take root. But we also, the seed is sown in our lives as we live the Christian life. You know, and what sort of soil is my heart, even as a believer? You know, sometimes often we get convicted of things. And if we don't do something about it, it's like that seed's been sown on kind of rocky soil here, and Satan takes it away and you forget about it, you know. Or other times I can get choked out by the thorns of worry and cares of life. You know, you get worried about things. But what I want us to focus on is the good soil, you know. And good soil, think of that seed as a powerful seed and a seed full of potential. When I was over in England a few weeks ago, and I was visiting my mum, and I would take morning walks in the park, and some beautiful oak trees there, and I was thinking about this parable. And, you know, these mighty oak trees start from a little acorn. You know, there's tremendous potential in it, isn't there? And I Googled it, and they say that, yeah, one oak tree will produce probably 5 million acorns in its life. I don't know how many of you yesterday read on the news feed about a giant western red cedar that's just been discovered up the Lynn Valley, up in the headwaters there. They think it's 5.8 meters in diameter and one of the biggest living trees in BC. They just discovered it. But you just think that started as a tiny little seed. You know, tremendous potential in seeds, aren't there? And those are, but you know, Peter says this, you know, there's perishable seed, but there is imperishable seed that through it, through the living and abiding word of God. And so there's the example of physical seeds, but God's seed has great potential in a person's life. And that's what this parable is telling us. You know, and that's where nature differs from God's word. Nature is just nature. God's word is eternal. I'd like to give you an example here. I've got an article that I photocopied out of Servant magazines 20 years ago, okay? But I found it the other day, and it's a great story. I'm just going to summarize the story. I'm not going to read it. It's 5 pages. But it talks about a missionary couple called David and Svea Flood, and they came from Sweden, and in 1921, they went out to what was then called Belgian Congo, now Zaire, and they worked in a very remote area of the country. And another couple came and joined them, the Ericssons. They were Scandinavian as well. But they did not have very much success. The village they were working with banished them and had to go and live on their own. And there's only one little boy in the village that would come out and he'd sell them some eggs and chickens and whatever. And but Svea, the woman, she worked with him and he became Christian. Okay? But shortly after that, they were really discouraged and the Ericssons left. So they're by themselves. And then Svea became pregnant and she had a baby girl, Angie. But Svea, the mother, died within 8 days. And the father, David, sort of kind of snapped and he gave up. And he said, I'm going back to Sweden. I've lost my wife. I can't take care of this baby. God has ruined my life. And he was very bitter. So he went to the town where the headquarters of the mission was and he gave baby Angie to the Ericssons. They were there. And he just went. 8 months later, both the Ericssons got tropical diseases and died. So Angie was given to an American missionary couple. And in due time, they went back to the States. This is a true story. So if you fast forward 20 years or so, Angie is in Bible school. You know, she's grown. She's a Christian. Meets somebody, gets married. Fast forward another 20 odd years. I'm guessing it's 20 years because her husband now is a president of a Bible school down in Seattle area. So they must be in their mid-40s. And she sees a magazine, a mission magazine from Sweden, in Swedish, and she flicks through it and sees a photograph of her mother's grave in Zaire. But she can't understand it because it's written in Swedish. So she gets somebody to translate it. And the story is this, that little boy who became a Christian and was left all alone there, he grew, and I don't know the details, but now there's a church of over 600 people, believers, from that little seed that was sown in that boy. And the missionary had thought God had ruined his life and had just left. But God had blessed that seed, tremendous potential. Anyway, on Angie's 25th wedding anniversary, they were given the gift of being able to go on holiday. So they went to Sweden, and she looked up her father, who she'd never seen, who deserted her when she was a little baby. And he'd remarried, and the one thing in his family that he says, never mention the name of God. And she found him, he was an alcoholic, living in desperate poverty. And she told him, Dad, this is what happened to that seed. You know, God had blessed it. And though you think God ruined your life, no. And he was bitter and whatever. And he came around. It's just an amazing story. Okay. A few years later, Angie and her husband went to London, England, for a mission conference. And one of the speakers was giving a report on the church in Zaire. So after the service, they found him and said, you know, have you ever heard of my mom and my dad, David and Svea Flood? I'm their daughter. And the man said, yes, because I'm that little boy. And he was now one of the leaders in the national church. You know, that just that little seed and the potential of it. And he invited them to go to Zaire, and they did a few years later. And just an amazing story. And the challenge for me is, do I really understand the potential and the power of the seed of God's word? You know, I was just looking at Ian there, and I know Ian works with Harbour Ministries, you know, and the seed is being sown, and probably those sailors are there for a few days, and then they're gone. And I know I've heard occasionally a story that you hear some feedback, but probably for the most part, that seed is sown and it's left with the Lord. And we don't know, but you know, the challenge for me, and I want it to make a challenge to you, is to realize the power of God's word, to realize the potential when it's sown, to produce 100, 60, 30-fold. So ask God to give you the opportunity to sow his seed this week. Peter calls it imperishable seed. He calls it the seed of the living and abiding word of God. I need that challenge, and I ask for you to take that challenge as well. Shall we just pray? Father, your word has truth, and sometimes my eyes are dull, and I need to have them open, Lord, to see the power of your word. And Father, we thank you for the story of this girl, Angie, and that we've just read about, and others, and the sailors whose hearts have the seed sown in them, Father, and ourselves. And Father, we just ask for opportunity this week and the challenge to sow the seed of the word of God. And we know that you will bless it. It will not come back to you void. So, Father, we ask for your care over us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, thank you.